Welcome back to our show talking about true crime. This is your host Olivia and
the host Michelle.
In today's episode, we will be talking about Ted Bundy, who was an American serial killer and rapist. We will be talking about his life and crimes. This is episode 6. If you are interested in hearing more about him, then please listen to our episode about him. We hope you are as interested in learning about Ted as we are. Who is Ted Bundy and what crimes did he commit? Find out in this episode about talking about true crime. Due to the graphic nature of this podcast, there will be things mentioned in this episode that are triggers for some people. This episode mentions some animal abuse. Proceed with caution. Not recommended for people who are under the age of 13. Theodore Ted Robert Bundy was born November 24, 1946 in Burlington, Vermont. He was born as his mother's secret shame. His birth was illegitimate and humiliating to her parents, who were deeply religious. His mother, Eleanor Louise Cowell, a.k.a. Louise, was 20 years old when he was born at a home for unwed mothers. Later, Louise took her son to her parents' home in Philadelphia. Ted's birth certificate listed his father as unknown. His biological father was never identified. There were theories of who he might be. Ann Rule, a co-worker of Ted's and an author of The Stranger Beside Me, suggests that Ted's father might be Lloyd Marshall, who was an Air Force veteran and a Penn State graduate. Other sources said that Ted's father was Jack Worthington. Some rumored that his father was his grandfather, to hide the fact that he was an illegitimate child. So Ted was raised as an adopted son to his grandparents and was told that his mother was his sister. His mother moved with Bundy to Tacoma, Washington. In 1951, she married Johnny Bundy. Ted took his name. It was reported that he had no respect for his stepfather. Ted resented his stepfather for being too uneducated and working class. Johnny and Louise had several children together. Bundy, from all appearances, grew up as a content working class family. He showed at the early age of 3 he had an unusual interest in macrame and became fascinated with knives. Ted did well in school, but not with his peers. Bundy was known to pick apart mice from the woods. He showed no sense of remorse, guilt, embarrassment, or shame. When he was a teenager, a darker side of his character started to emerge. Ted would peek in through other people's windows to see what he could steal from them. Ted graduated from the University of Washington and got a degree in psychology in 1972. He was accepted to attend law school in Utah, but never earned his degree. As a student at the University of Washington, Bundy fell in love with a woman that was pretty and wealthy, whose name was Elizabeth Clofer, who goes by Elizabeth Kendall now. He admitted to trying to kill her once when she was drunk and asleep, but he didn't go through with it. Bundy's victims resembled her. They were attractive students with long dark hair. Bundy had transformed himself by the mid-70s. He had become more outwardly confident and active in social and political matters. Bundy got a recommendation from a Republican governor of Washington for working on his campaign. Bundy confessed to killing 30 women in several states in the 1970s. The experts believe the final tally might have been close to 100 or more. The exact number of women Bundy killed will never be known. His killing had a gruesome pattern. He would often rape the women before beating them to death. There are debates on when Bundy started his killings. Most sources thought he began his murderous rampage around 1974. Around this time, many women in the Seattle area and nearby Oregon went missing. Some of the stories circulated that some of the victims were last seen in the company of a young, dark-haired man known as Ted. Matt DeLisi, the criminologist, argues in a 2023 book that Bundy likely murdered more than 100 women and then he started killing in his adolescence. Bundy dropped lots of clues like there were more murders. Later explained to authorities they were unequipped to track Bundy. Bundy would lure his victims to his car by pretending he was injured and ask for their help. The kindness they showed him would be a fatal mistake. In the fall of 1974, Bundy moved to Utah to attend law school. Women started to go missing there as well. By the following year, the police pulled over Bundy. They searched his vehicle and uncovered a catch with burglary tools. They found inside a crowbar, a face mask, and handcuffs. They arrested him for possession of these tools. The police began linking him to much more sinister crimes. In 1975, Bundy was arrested for kidnapping Carol DeRanche, one of the few women to escape his clutches. Bundy was convicted and received 1 to 15 years sentence in jail. In 1977, Ted escaped from prison twice. He was indicted on murder charges for the death of a Colorado woman who was young. He decided to act as his own attorney. When he was on his way to the courthouse library, he jumped out the window and escaped. That was the first time he escaped, but he was caught 8 days later. The second time he escaped was in December, and Ted climbed out of a hole he made in his cell. He dropped more than 30 pounds to fit the small opening. For 15 hours, police did not discover he was missing. It gave Ted a head start on authorities. When Ted escaped a second time, he went to Tallahassee, Florida. On January 14th of 1978, it was nighttime when he broke into Chi Omega Sorority House of Florida State University. There, he attacked 4 of the young female students and killed 2 of them. Their names were Margaret Bowman and Lisa Levy. Ted kidnapped and murdered a 12-year-old girl whose name was Kimberly Leach on February 9th. Authorities pulled Ted over later that month, and the crimes he committed before they caught him were the end of his murderous rampage. The bite marks on Levy's body connected Ted to the 2 Chi Omega murders at FSU. Those bite marks were a definite match to Ted. Ted's mother worked as a security at the University of the Puget Sound. She was still married to Johnny when Bundy was accused of the crimes. For years, she denied what he was accused of, but changed her mind when he admitted to them. Bundy was good-looking, charming, and very intelligent. He was like a celebrity during his trial. He was fighting for his life, but in July of 1979, he was convicted for the murders of Bowman and Levy. He got the death penalty twice. For 9 years on death row, he wanted to appeal his sentence. For Leach's murder, Bundy received another death sentence in 1980. For this ultimately led to him to be executed by electric chair in 1989. In February 1980, Bundy married Carol Ann Boone. She was a mother of 2 children. Boone had another daughter named Rose. She named Bundy as the father. Bundy's paternity on Rose was questioned because he wasn't allowed to have conjugal visits in prison. A former co-worker, Ann Rule, wrote a book about him. She said that it was likely that Bundy bribed the prison guards to let the couple have sex. Carol realized that Bundy was guilty of his crimes eventually, and in 1986 divorced him. She moved her daughter and her to Washington, according to Rule's book, to help them stay out of the public eye. Carol changed their names, it is believed. Rule said she deliberately avoided information about Carol and Rose because they deserved their privacy. She stated she doesn't know where they are. All she knows is his daughter has grown up to be a fine young woman. On January 24, 1989, Ted Bundy was executed around 7 a.m. at a Florida State prison in an electric chair, who is sometimes known as Old Sparky. People outside the prison cheered and set off fireworks after his execution. They chanted "Burn, Bundy, burn," and banged frying pans as well in celebration. A religious broadcaster whose name was James Dobson interviewed Ted the night before he was to be electrocuted. James said Ted wept multiple times and expressed remorse, according to the Los Angeles Times. On the eve of his death, Ted made 2 phone calls to his mother. He also had a final meal of steak, eggs, hash browns, and toast. Bundy told his lawyer, Jim Coleman, and Fred Lawrence, his minister, his last words before his death, which were, "I'd like you to give my love to my family and friends." After his execution, scientists wanted to remove Bundy's brain to study it to see if there were signs of physical abnormalities to explain his violent behavior. They didn't find any. They cremated Bundy's body in Gainesville, Florida. There was no public ceremony before his funeral. Bundy requested that his ashes be scattered in Cascade Mountains in Washington State, where he murdered at least four of his victims. Ted Bundy stated he killed 30 women, although the exact number is unknown. He had sex with their bodies until he no longer could. He'd sometimes dismember them and keep their heads as souvenirs. All right, Mom, what do you think about that, what we just read?
Well, I've only known him as a serial killer. I never knew he was a rapist. Of course, at the time this was going on, I was a child, so I didn't get to... Well, I'm glad I didn't get to hear most of what was going on besides that.
Yeah, and he's also known as a necrophiliac, which is disgusting. Said that he'd revisit the bodies afterwards, after he killed them.
Yeah, I can't imagine what them women went through getting raped. And being somebody who watches the Forensic Files and stuff, I know how that went. And that was probably very gruesome and graphic. And then the fear of him trying to kill him is another fear they had. It's bad that he did all this, and at least the police were catching up with him faster than any other person we have done.
Yeah, so far.
So far. But there is things back then that they couldn't do to, you know, figure out where he's at. During this time he was in the news and stuff, I was living in Washington State, so I'm not sure generally where he was when this all happened. I know a little bit of the state. It's very beautiful there. It's got a lot of wilderness there, so I just can't imagine what those women were thinking.
Yeah.
The women were, I know they were in fear. And then he marries a woman.
Well, not only that, he had a kid.
With her. For being intelligent, he was a gross person.
Mm-hmm.
Doing these ones is just, I don't know what to say, because with these serial killers, if one hears one thing he did to a person, then that person's got to do the same thing, you know, kind of, it's like a generation thing.
Yeah.
And this is getting ridiculous.
His childhood home was in Tacoma, Washington, and I guess according to some people, like, contractors were gonna do a renovation on that house, and they consider it haunted because of the noises they heard. One of the contractors brought his little girl with him, and she started freaking out for no reason that he could see. There was people, I believe, who saw "Help Me" written in the basement, and then in one of the rooms they said they saw the word "leave" in the floor. I don't know if Ted did any killing there, but it's kind of weird that it'd be haunted and it being Ted's childhood home.
Well, if that's the case, I believe in spirits. I do watch Ghost Adventures, and I know what they can do spirit-wise. There's good ones, and then there's real bad ones, and the bad ones, the ones you gotta watch out for.
Oh, yeah.
They can do anything without you knowing it, and it can just hit you all of a sudden.
What I'm confused on is, if it was his childhood home and he didn't do no killing there, then where the hell did the spirits come from?
That I could not answer you. He had to do some killing there to order for spirits to be there. Unless somebody else was using that house and they died there, and it was an evil person or an evil spirit that took over the house.
Yeah. Well, it could be a good spirit, too, because one of the scrawlings said, "Help me."
It's amazing what spirits and ghosts can do. Yeah, they can literally talk to you if you listen or have some kind of equipment to make it to where you can hear them.
Yeah, I've seen YouTube videos of that where those people talk to the dead people. Their machine. Words can come through the machine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not exactly the way we talk. It's like broken, like certain words, but you still get the gist of what they're saying and stuff.
Or they whisper.
That too.
Or they threaten you.
Yeah.
A lot of them like to threaten you, and they like to scare you when they sit there and slam things that's around in the house. And some of them can be quite loud.
Yeah. Another thing I want to touch up on that was said here, he said his last words before his death were, "I'd like you to give my love to my family and friends." Okay, maybe his mother still loved him, but who else would sit there and love him after him being convicted of all these crimes? Like, what friends could he possibly even have?
A secret identity. He has this life going, you know, publicly. And on the other side of being quiet and everything, he has this.
Okay, well, still, people were still going to find out no matter what, because his face was plastered all over the place. So those friends are going to still know he committed those crimes.
And wonder why they were friends with him in the first place.
Yeah.
Or, how can this intelligent man be this way towards another human?
Yeah. And then another thing, what I don't understand is, why do they let bad people choose their last meal?
They do that with everybody.
Okay, but see, the thing is, with horrible crimes like this, they, in my opinion, they shouldn't be allowed to pick their last meal.
I understand that.
It's like a luxury or something that, it just doesn't make sense to me that they get to choose their last meal. Like, they shouldn't get what they want when they did all those bad things.
Anybody who is going to be put to death, anybody, it doesn't matter who it is, if they get put to death, they get the Last Supper.
Okay, well,
or whatever they call that. I forgot what they called that, but I call it the Last Supper because that's the last thing they're going to eat before they die.
Yeah, well, I just feel like people who did lesser crimes than what people like Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy did and all that, I think that, you know, they should get the last meal, but the ones who did stuff like Ted Bundy and Jeffrey Dahmer and all that shouldn't get to pick their last meal.
I really don't know how that came about. It's proven that they do have the Last Supper before they get electrocuted or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know why they do that, but it's only to ones that are put to death that get the Last Supper. I mean, there's even movies that show that. I never did understand that. I tried to ask a cop one time, and he couldn't really answer the question, so I guess I'd have to call a prison just to find out why and how that came about.
Yeah, I can't believe he got a wife, and it said something about during his trial he asked her to marry him. Okay, lady, you agreed to marry him when he's being accused of all this, and then later you sit there and basically realize that he did commit those crimes and then divorce him? Like, you should have went through that extensively before you sat there and told him you'd marry him.
Well, what I don't understand is she's in the court listening to what he's done.
Yeah, I know.
And she still says that she wants to marry him after all that she heard?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, like, but at least the thing is that she realized that he was a bad person and she divorced him. So that's the good thing about that.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad they left the two alone, the mother and the daughter, and kind of like started off fresh without him.
Mm-hmm.
Because they changed their name.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah,
it's nice to hear that his daughter grew up not like him.
Yeah, definitely. I also saw somewhere that Ted was exposed to his grandfather's violent pornography collection, and that's likely where he got it, his thinking from or whatever. And I saw that his grandfather was not a good person.
Why would the grandfather have movies?
I don't know. They're supposed to be religious and all that. Why would he have a collection of porn, especially violent porn?
Exactly. There's a hidden secret there inside something of Grandpa.
And I mean, it's rumored that he was the father to Ted.
Yeah.
Which means he had sex with his own daughter, if that's true.
Oh, that's just,
yeah,
gross.
I don't know, but Ted's a puke-worthy person. Like, his crimes are puke-worthy shit.
Yeah, and then picking the mice apart?
Well,
oh, okay.
I saw somewhere else that he did more than just that.
Okay, just leave it at that. Just leave it at that.
Yeah.
I don't want to know anymore. I hate when they do things to animals.
Yeah, I know. You know.
Animals and kids.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even adults, but it's harder to accept when it's an animal and a kid.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a little easier to accept when it's an adult, but no more better than...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just leave everybody alone.
Yeah, everybody needs left alone. Yep. Everybody needs... Well, I don't know about everybody, but the good people need to be left alone and not killed, so...
Well, people shouldn't be doing that to other people and or kids and or animals.
Yeah.
And well, being an animal lover... That would upset me just hearing things. Now, yeah. A mouse, you know, okay, it's a mouse, you know.
Hey.
Things eat mice, okay? I'm a little used to that, but still the idea of him picking at it and whatever else he did, you know, it's just like, okay, that could have been a cat or a dog. You know, I would have got just as upset with that. At least he didn't do that to any kids. As far as I know, he didn't do anything like that towards the women.
Yeah. Well, dismembering them's pretty bad.
Yeah. Well, I guess picking and dismembering is a little gross.
Yeah. And keeping their heads, some of their heads as souvenirs.
Now that is even grosser yet.
There's another thing that just popped into my head when you were talking. He had a couple of underage victims. They don't even consider him a pedophile for that?
I don't know much about that and what puts him... What makes him into a pedophile? I don't know what he has to make himself to be a pedophile. I don't know what...
Well, it didn't say that he raped her or anything. It just said that he killed her. So, I mean, they weren't very specific on it, in my opinion. So,
12-year-old.
So, that may be why he's not considered a pedophile.
Yeah, because he just killed her. He didn't do anything else to her.
Yeah. So
bad enough killing a young person like that.
Yeah. That girl didn't need to lose her life. None of them did.
None of them did.
Yeah. Is there anything you'd like to add to that?
No, I think we covered it.
Okay. Can you tell us what you think about this episode? You can let us know at our email, talkingabouttruecrime3051@gmail.com, or leave a comment on our website, which is www.talking-about-true-crime.com. I will be putting the website in the description. This has been your host, Olivia, and
co-host, Michelle,
on our podcast, Talking About True Crime. What we covered in this episode is the life and crimes of Ted Bundy, more specifically, him raping and killing women, as well as having sex with their bodies after he killed them and dismembering them. Please spread the word to your family and friends if you liked what we covered and if you think they would as well. If you heard anything we need to work on, please let us know on our email or at our website I mentioned earlier. We are open to suggestions on how to improve. Please hit that follow button if you like our content and want to hear more from us. In the next episode, we will be covering John Wayne Gacy. It was a request from my sister, Lilith Norton, who is also my mom's daughter as well.
Hello, Lilith. Thank you for being our listener.
She requested we cover him as she is very interested in learning about him. As I stated before, we take requests on who you want us to cover. So if you want to do that, please send us an email or leave a comment on our website on who you want us to cover and why, and leave your name. We will be finding out John Wayne Gacy's life and crimes in the next episode, and we hope you will be back to listen. If you are hearing this message, you've listened to another entire episode, and we want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Talking About True Crime. If you did, please leave us a review as it will help us get noticed.
Thank you.